The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, yeah, it is a big lead. But as you know by now, Dory is recovering from knee replacement surgery. It's not funny. I mean, Dory's in some significant pain. I remember distinctly at a conversation I had with him. I saw him he was limping. But I saw him have to change directions in the parking lot as I was coming into work. And look on his face. I remember I said, brother, you got to get this taken care of. And are you worried about the pain in the surgery? And he said, No, nothing can hurt more than I hurt now.
It hurts more than it hurt then. I can tell you from his text and his lack of sleep. And yeah, he definitely is in pain now. And I think it might be worse. But there's light at the end of the tunnel, I guess, right?
Yeah, there is. No, I knew I was going to mention the fact you guys had this talk and Dory said, nah, I don't know if I'm coming in today. And then it's kind of turned into maybe not the rest of the week because he's been calling in and soldiering in. But I wonder if he'll come on and say, yeah, the surgery actually hurts. It's weird. When they cut your body up with a knife, there's pain.
There's some pain involved.
Yeah, imagine that.
He says he's coming on tomorrow. I said, we'll play it by ear.
Okay. Nicole, not just producer and friend, but also gatekeeper for Dory's health. All right, let's do this. Let's get started now with the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
Oh, man, they're working hard in Olympia. They're just working so hard on your behalf. You're going to be thrilled to know it's no longer going to be a felony. It's not a felony. It's going to be a misdemeanor now to knowingly give another person HIV. It's on its way to becoming a misdemeanor as opposed to a felony. And everyone everywhere says, thank goodness, the madness of charging someone with a felony for knowingly giving someone else HIV without telling them, those days are gone. It's just going to be a misdemeanor. The work of Olympia continues. Did I just hear G and Ursula had Dan Satterberg go on their show? I heard Satterberg say that business owners don't want to pay to put people in jail for stealing things. That's interesting. He's hard at work on everyone else's behalf as well. I bet Satterberg, the so-called King County prosecutor, who prosecutes barely anything, he's probably a big fan of this because back to Olympia working hard on your behalf. HB 1783. Oh, you're going to be thrilled with this. This is a big one. Lots of sponsors to this. Gregerson, Morgan, Ryu, Lovick, Keduff, Levitt, bunch of people sponsoring this. And it's going to create a brand new government position, a brand new government organization. It's creating the Washington State Staff Office of Equity. It's awesome because equity is a very definable, knowable, testable, observable, falsifiable standard. It's scientific. You can look at what is equitable and not almost mathematically. You can say, people who are not benefiting from this or that portion of society, it is strictly because of racism. It is strictly because of structural racism. No need to name the people who are racist because I'd like them ousted. How about you? If there are active racists working in government or in hiring positions, I want them ousted. For real. Of course I do. I happen to be of what people call a race. I don't like racism in any form. But the equity, that's scientifically objectified, right? We can really tell what's equitable and what's not. So this Office of Equity for the state offices of equity is going to get down to the mathematical analysis of the fact that some stuff isn't fair, but it's never the result of a different work habit. It's never the result of different study, different actions, different decisions people make in life. It is only because people are inanimate objects controlled entirely by their environment without any ability to affect the environment around them. Yeah, working hard on your behalf. So Shama Sawant is under an ethics complaint. The city actually stepped forward and filed ethics complaints against her for using city resources to campaign. The entire city government is campaigning. The entire city council is campaigning. I want to thank the equity people, or not the equity people, but the ethics people, for noticing that Shama Sawant is, you know, acting illegally. We just had the entire city council campaign against $30 car tabs and the mayor. And and the prosecutors and just about everybody else in the Seattle government. So maybe they could expand their interest in this to other people. She says that her tax on Amazon, she's not backing down. One thing about Shauna Swan, she doesn't often back down. She did with the union workers, but she's fixed that. I'll tell you about that in a second. She says her tax is going to raise $300 million a year from dirty, rotten businesses. Just stinking rich businesses that do nothing for anybody. I mean, okay, so, you know, Amazon.com has created a couple hundred thousand millionaires, maybe more, maybe a million millionaires. So, I mean, it's they put people's kids through college and et cetera. They've started entire businesses have been birthed because of Amazon. Amazon Cloud Services allows people now to create businesses in their garage that would take years of fundraising. Years of and millions of dollars to create that sort of infrastructure. So, I mean, aside from that, and, you know, and aside from Mary's Place and the monies to charity, and aside from all that, I mean, Amazon's done nothing. And we could admit that certainly nothing in comparison to what Shauna Swan's done. So this dirty, stinking rich businesses, these big businesses, they're going to fork over $300 million a year. And you know what they're not going to do? They're not going to pass the cost on to you. I love this. The tax will never be paid by you. The businesses will say, well, we certainly can't raise our prices to cover this $300 million. We certainly can't hire fewer people in Washington state. That's illegal. We can't do that. So they'll just fork over the money. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant scheme she's come up with. All right. Back in the day, I met a guy named Jeff Jewell. And he's a guy who is an expert in infrastructure and specifically on things like seawalls. And I had him on my show on KTTH years ago, and he came to mind recently because I read that the city of Tacoma is going to redesign a beach, which is very popular down there. They're using climate change projections to do this. So the climate change, they say the rising sea levels is one reason they're making changes. The University of Washington is helping redesign Owen Beach at Point Defiance Park. I love Point Defiance Park. One of the greatest swims in the ocean I ever had was at Point Defiance Park. My daughter and I went there on a day. Tide was really low. We swam way out there. It was incredible fun. Now, here's sort of the funny thing about this. Jeff Jewell came on my program, and we used to do a feature called Whiteboard Wednesday. So we would turn the cameras on, and I would draw pictures or have guests draw pictures. Jeff drew a picture of the Seattle seawall that was built along with the ridiculously overpriced tunnel, which 30% of people are not using. What do you think Seattle did in relation to climate change projections? Do you think, how high do you think they built the seawall? Another 15 feet? What do you think they did?
What you see if you're on Facebook is you see a picture of the seawall. Now, Jeff is going to explain if the seawall is high enough to withstand the sort of cataclysmic global warming that is predicted by Al Gore and the like. So go at it, Jeff.
Okay, I'll try to keep this really simple so it makes sense just without seeing the picture. But essentially, our seawall has a top elevation of 16.1 feet. The new seawall also has an elevation of 16.10 feet.
Sorry, I think you made a mistake. You were saying that the current seawall has 16.1 height, yeah. and the new one is the same height?
Yeah, back in the 1930s, they built a seawall with a top elevation of 16.1. And somehow they had the foresight to build it high enough for sea level rise through the year 2100.
So they didn't add any height to the new seawall?
No. You can actually go down to the waterfront and walk the waterfront and see where the new seawall ends and meets the old seawall. They're the same height.
Not even an inch?
Not even an inch. They really probably could have rationalized making it 8 inches higher, because that's what we're going to see. That's the magnitude of the sea level rise we're going to see in the next century.
Next
8 inches.
100 years.
100 years would be 8 inches of sea level rise. Almost guarantees.
It's the same height. The Seattle seawall that they built along with the tunnel, it's the same height. They did not adjust for their cataclysmic so-called global warming projections. So city taxpayers in Tacoma, you're following Seattle down certain paths. Maybe you should follow them down that path and not adjust your seawall for something that's not likely to happen. Man, we are getting, as the Big Lead Dirty Monster Show continues, we are getting a whole bunch of phone calls from parents just freaked out about what's going on in the schools. We're going to get to a story out of Spokane, which is unbelievably disturbing. Let me start with this. The superintendent of government schools, Chris Rakedahl, who is a guy who has said at certain times that if teachers were allowed to conceal carry, teachers, like perfectly sane teachers, if they were allowed to do that, they'd shoot their students and they would shoot one another. That is Chris Rakedahl's assessment of you, if you're a gun owner, that you're going to just shoot someone because you brought a gun to work. Chris Rakedahl and the powers that be have been having these active shooter drills in schools. When these came up, I was saying kids have a far greater chance, quite literally, of being hit by lightning than being killed in a school shooting. They have a far greater likelihood of getting hit crossing the street to get to school, right, in these sort of activities. I made this assessment that these drills were about scaring people. They were about scaring voters. Because the thought of your child being in a school shooting, it's horrifying. Because it's an act of absolute desperate evil that people undertake. And it's unpredictable. And the unpredictable is very, very scary. And it allows people who have an agenda to take people's guns away to say, this could happen to you. When in fact, these things happen every weekend with predictable regularity in cities all around the United States. Finally, now, the teachers unions. Thank you for this, teachers unions. I disagree with you a lot often. Thank you for coming up and saying, these are freaking kids out. This is not productive. And finally, Rakedahl sort of agrees on this. So the school, that a great job stepping back from this stuff. I'm getting notes. I'm getting phone calls. I'm getting tweets, private messages from parents who are absolutely shocked at what's going on in their kids' schools, particularly after the installation of some of the comprehensive sex education curricula that we've been talking about and Dory's been talking about on the show. Some of this extreme, radical curricula I didn't want to mention today. It's not fun. It's not fun to use the phrases and descriptions, etc. on the air. I don't imagine you like hearing it, but it's important that you know what's going on. Well, out of Spokane, KXLY reports about a game that's been being played at a school called Molest Me Mondays. Does that sound like fun? Does it sound like a fun game that you might have played back in your school days? Something called Molest Me Mondays. KXLY reports on Shaw Middle School.
So I didn't know about it until I got a call from you.
This concerned mother asked us to hide her identity. She's one of several parents, students, and staff who confirmed to 4 News Now that a game involving unwanted touching has been happening. Her child has avoided it, but not everyone has been as lucky in a game called Molest Me Mondays.
She's seen other kids getting and she didn't like it, so she didn't know what to do. She was scared.
In this leaked memo dated last November, we discovered staff knew about the game. The memo reveals a student told an adult she was uncomfortable. She describes how it takes place in private areas of school, sometimes even involving getting followed into a bathroom, where another student will try to do inappropriate things or touch you in a way that's uncomfortable.
This behavior is occurring more covertly. It doesn't happen in front of staff members.
Brian Connington with Spokane Public Schools admits this game has been happening on and off for years.
So they've increased the hallway presence as well during passing periods and other times when students are in the hallway to make sure there's more sets of eyes out there.
To address these problems, Connington says there's been additional training for staff and students as of last week, and Shaw Middle School has notified parents of students who were involved in these games. Still, the mother who spoke with us says Shaw Middle School should have notified all parents.
Nobody knew anything about it until I mentioned it.
Were any parents notified by the school that you know of?
No. As far as I know, no. The people I got a hold of were, like, really hot and mad and uptight.
We have been getting messages. I've been getting phone calls from parents who say since the CSC, the curriculum, the sex education curriculum has been installed in their schools, the schools have become ultra sexualized. One parent contacted me about that school that KXLY reported on Shaw Middle School and says, yep, the comprehensive sex education stuff, that curricula is in place and it has changed the school. There's a lot more to come on that. That's the local scene in the Big Lead, but we live in a great big country as the Big Lead continues.
The Big Lead, top national.
Mayor Pete is not particularly well liked by African Americans in his city because he has not done any work that matters to them there. And his ratings with African Americans are very, very low. I don't think this fixed things very much. Mayor Pete talking about funding sources in politics.
Getting big money out of politics. And in order to do that, we're going to have to reform the entire system. I am not a fan of, let's be clear, I'm not a fan of the current campaign finance system. And the reality is, it's not going to get better in all of the ways we need it to get better without a constitutional reform. So there are things we can and should do right away. We can deal with black money, dark money. African-American money. I'm always happy to take black money contributions in my campaign. Dark money refers to when you can't identify the funding that goes into these super PACs.
It continued to not go well from there with Mayor Pete, who the black community has said, wait, you're running for mayor, but you haven't done anything here. Why are you running for president? You haven't done anything here, Mayor Pete. Morning Joe on MSNBC. Oh, my goodness. Look, there are legitimate criticisms of the president. There's legitimate criticisms of every president. Their personalities, their policies you don't like. But honestly, Mika and Joe? You think you guys are going to jail?
Seriously, if you could arrest every journalist he didn't like, if you could arrest us tomorrow, let me ask you a question. Do you think he would arrest us tomorrow? Do you think he would arrest the editor of the New York Times, the editor of the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos? Do you think he'd arrest them tomorrow and throw them in jail to silence them?
Like it.
Do you think they would? Because if you say he wouldn't, you're just lying to yourself.
They're saying that the president would arrest them if he could. Can I just point something out? You would never see an arrest of a media person. I mean, let's say that there was a filmmaker who made really amateurish, bad, really, really horribly done YouTube videos. And let's say that one of those videos was about Islam. And let's say that that filmmaker himself came from Muslim heritage. Let's say he made such a video, right? It's not like the Secretary of State and the president, like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. It's not like they would jail a filmmaker without charging him and hold them for like a year without charges. Oh, I'm sorry, I stand corrected. That's exactly what happened under Hillary Clinton and President Obama. Mike Bloomberg, how are things going in your campaign? We'll get to that. He got yelled at on the stage. People have sort of a mantra. They're yelling at Mike Bloomberg. No, it's not. Get a box. That's rude. It's something else. It's Todd Herman in for Dory Monson on Cairo Radio. Going to tell you about a distraction-free phone that will bring you back to days spent in your grandma's kitchen. That's coming up on Cairo Radio. Todd Herman filling in for Dory Monson on Cairo Radio. Got a question for you on the text line at 98973. If you had to give up features on your smartphone and you could only have three features, three apps, whatever you want to call them, three capabilities, basically, what would you keep on your cell phone, on your smartphone? I ask that because there's an amazing invention that a woman has created. Her name is Justine Hopp. This comes from Gizmodo. She's designed a mobile phone. So she took a classic, real smartphone, and she attached to it a rotary dial phone. So for people Nicole's age and Andrew's age, there used to be these rotary, like it was shaped like a circle, and then it had several circles within it. Each of those circles represented a number, and you would turn, put your finger into one of the smaller holes, turn the wheel, release your finger, it would come back, and then you would dial the next number. It's called a rotary phone for y'all people who are the age of Nicole and Andrew.
Hey, now. I mean, I never used one to actually make calls, but I do know what they are.
Yeah, but you never had the thrill, the experience. Or you know what? You know
well,
what you never had?
Well, there were vintage ones at the time. I probably have used like a vintage one where, somebody connects it just for the style.
Yeah, but Nicole, you never had the heart-wrenching drama. of calling the first person you're going to ask out. And you have to dial. And I remember the phone number. Oh, I do. I remember it. 9. You didn't have to do an area code then. 9, 2. And you go 4, 5, 2. And I won't say the last two numbers. And when you did that, you had this feeling of anticipation. There's always in this delay before the people picked up the phone. And then, of course, is it going to be the mother? Is it going to be the father? Is it going to be her?
Well, I did grow up in a time that I pushed buttons. I mean, now I know I don't have to even do that, but I did have to push buttons.
Yeah, but you had to do that with all, you could do that with all your fingers. That's quick. You never had to have that fear.
I know.
Of what that would be like. So this woman has invented this to try to create a distraction-free phone. She's put some sort of cool modern features on the phone. And like, okay, so there's a quick button if you need to call someone, or a quick signal if you need to call someone, a 10 LED signal meter, etc. But this is the killer app, Nicole. She has put a physical power switch on the phone. You can slide it to off position. As heaven is high, as God is my witness, I would purchase this phone for that, so that your phone never turns on in your pocket, never loses batteries, etc. So I want to ask you, if you could, if you had to give up all the features on your phone, save 3, which would you keep?
Me, I would definitely, well, you know, I'm sorry, I would keep Facebook and Instagram, and then probably my Waze app.
Okay, so Facebook, wait, you wouldn't keep the phone?
Oh, wait, you need, that's part of it?
Yes.
Those are givens.
No. I said 3 capabilities of the phone. So you would have social media and a Waze app. You wouldn't, like, you wouldn't.
Okay,
you
no, then. First... If, no, I thought that the rest was included in the phone. No. Like additional apps is what I was thinking. So, no, I'd go phone and then text and then probably Waze.
Okay, that's what everyone else is saying. Text, GPS, phone.
Yep.
But people didn't put the Waze. See, I contend that modern technology is inferior in so many ways to old technology. For instance, I bought a new pair of, what are the things that you shove in your ears? Your generation doesn't call them headphones. They're earbuds. You shove them in your face, right?
The AirPods, you mean?
Yeah, no, I didn't buy AirPods. They're too $115 for stuff you shove in your ears.
Well,
no,
or they come free with your phone sometimes.
Well, free. Yes, they're free. That's right. Apple doesn't charge them. They don't make any money on those. Yeah, that's really, really good. You got that. No, I bought a competitor to Apple, $39. They're great. You shove them in your ear hole, and then they turn off when you put them in the box, etc. So I'm in bliss. I'm at the gym. I've finally started to get a good workout. My body doesn't produce adrenaline anymore, so I have to fake it with all these energy drinks. So I'm finally getting this great workout, and the stupid phone rings. Right? And I have to go to my bag and turn the phone off and then figure out how do I put it on Do Not Disturb. There were so many ways that old tech was better than new tech.
Okay,
right?
Wait.
You know what I'm saying?
All you have to do is put in airplane mode or Do Not Disturb. That's so easy.
Okay.
How is that not better?
No, except for this. If you put it in airplane mode, you got no Bluetooth. Now the things that you shoved in your ears, they're dead. You don't get your music. Secondly, the Do Not Disturb doesn't work on Apple.
No,
iPhones.
Airplane mode still works with Bluetooth. It just doesn't.
No.
It doesn't use cellular.
Oh, it doesn't work on my phone.
If,
oh, no,
I'll show you how it works. It does.
No, because because I don't want to sign
up.
No. Okay, so what Wi-Fi do I use, Nicole, when I go jogging? What Wi-Fi do I use then? The Bluetooth doesn't work on on airplane mode. So what Wi-Fi do I use as I run around Seattle?
Oh, then you use the Do Not Disturb.
Except again, let me just tell you
cellular.
Again. No, the Do Not Disturb does not work. I always have Do Not Disturb on. I have 10 people, you're one of them, I accept phone calls from. Everyone else goes straight to voicemail because I don't answer my phone. So it does not work in that way. Oh, did you see the text line? Let's see. Okay, Boomer. Technology today is inferior to technology back in the day. Okay, Boomer. Let's see. Todd, are you from the Pacific County? No, I'm not. Nicole is right. No, she's not right.
Yes, I am. There's a way to do it.
I'm telling you that I've tried this 1,000 times. Secondly, yeah. Oh, I love this. 253. Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn. No, do get off my lawn. All right. So she's invented this phone. If I had only 3 apps on my phone, I would have phone, search, maps. That's it.
Search for, like, online? You mean your internet?
Like Google.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Phone, search, and maps. That's it. That's all I'd have. In fact, no, wait. I don't need search. I'd have phone, maps, and music. That's it. That's all I'd have. And I don't even want music on my phone. I would rather have just a separate music device so I can go into the gym and be completely unbothered by that. It's because you're using an iPhone. Yes, it is on the text line. It is because I'm using an iPhone, and iPhone hates customers. Now, because I've been a curmudgeon on this, and I started to look into this curmudgeonly attitude towards new tech, did you know that when coffee came about, that people did not like coffee? They didn't like refrigerators. I'm trying to put myself in the place of being around when that new tech came out. I was saying, don't bring me the damn refrigerator. If I want cold food, I'll stick it in the ice and cover it with a blanket, a thick one, so that the bears don't get to it. The objections to refrigeration would be, can you imagine, put yourself back in the place of that time saying, I don't want any newfangled refrigerator in my house. Can you get there? No, you can't. Right. And the reason that people reject new tech, this is from The Washington Post, is that they fear it replaces their reason for being. And this is from Colostas Huma, who's a professor in Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government, explores this phenomena in a book called Innovation and Its Enemies, Why People Resist New Technologies. The theory of the book, or one of the core theories, is that tech replaces our reason for being. And that's the reason that people sort of resist it. But I don't think a refrigerator replaces your reason for being, right? That's not at that level. Now, last thing on this whole topic of distractions, etc. How do you think people distracted themselves before there were phones? Because can we all admit that the phone is one great, big, huge distraction device? Nicole, do you use your phone when you don't want to engage with other people? Do you ever tactically pull out your phone when you're trying to? I tried this last night. There was a drunk guy at this restaurant I was at, and he thought I really wanted to have a conversation with him. I kept staring at my phone.
I don't know. You know me, Todd. I like conversation. Yeah. So I typically don't avoid people. I ask for conversation. I'm the annoying person at the airport that will talk to the person sitting next to me.
Okay, so one of the examples of how people did it back in the day is actually...
Get away from me.
Yep. There's a photo taken by Stanley Kubrick, 1946, and his estimation, people were staring at the papers on the bus because they didn't want to interact with their fellow human beings. So I guess that's a behavior as old as we are.
You know, and as
Todd Herman in...
Really
what?
Quick.
Yeah?
What? When you were talking about not resisting new technology for that reason, I think that's a generational thing. And I think we're getting away from that. Now we embrace technology. Man, we are all over that. So I think that's a boomer thing when they had to work harder.
Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn, Nicole. Or come back on the Dory Monson Show, Todd Herman filling in. Filling in for Dory Monson on Cairo Radio. The text line, we're talking about what features on your phone you would do away with, and we got into a conversation about, does the airplane mode stop people from calling you during workouts? Okay, so I've been shamed on the text line. 425, Todd on the iPhone, you first turn on airplane mode, then you toggle either your Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or both, and they work fine. I use it at work all the time. User error strikes again. All right, thanks. Well, you're the other person. You're the second person who said user error strikes again with the same exact explanation. I'm a high-tech Luddite, says the 253. I work with high-tech, and I refuse to own it. We also talked about people's refusal to accept new technology. I was trying to put myself in the place of, why would you not want a refrigerator, right? You have, you know, carrying ice up the steps and your ice house and your cooler and your cold room for your vegetables, etc. And then I get this from the 425. The old fridge units have very loud motors. They're often put in sheds or basement for that reason. And then his phone pick on the apps he would keep. Text, internet, map, guidance. Last night, I was at, okay, all right, so this is political. Everyone's, okay, so get triggered. I don't like Walmart. I try not to shop there. And nothing against the people who work there. They're fine people, but I do not care for the business model. I don't care for the race to the bottom. I don't care for what Walmart has done. to sort of small businesses, not mom and pop retail, because Walmart started as mom and pop retail. It's their job, it's their mission to drive costs down. But the things they do to producers, American producers of goods, they've sometimes destroyed producers by saying, hey, yeah, we'll stock your pickles. People love our pickles, your pickles, but they're going to be in 15-gallon jugs at Walmart. You are going to locate your facilities next door to us. And when we went to our distribution facilities, when we want more pickles, you're going to bring them to us immediately because we're going to do just-in-time inventory. People have constructed, and the pickle thing, that's real. People have constructed entire businesses at the behest of Walmart. And then Walmart comes along and says, yeah, we found some other pickles. So we're going to go, we found some pickles in China. Now, again, that's the prerogative. And that's their job, is to keep costs low, and they do a good job at that. But I just don't traditionally shop there. But last night I did. I went to Walmart because it's, frankly, the only thing near where I am right now. And I've been there a few times because it's the only thing near where I am. And it occurred to me that it shouldn't have been as easy as it was for me to bring a smile to a woman's face. Shouldn't have been. I go in, and I don't use the self-check things because I prefer the human interaction. Secondly, it's not my job to check out my groceries. You want me to check out my groceries, pay me money to check out my groceries, I'll check out my groceries. So I get in line, and there's a woman there. She happens to be very, very overweight. My father was obese his whole life. I was 150 pounds heavier at one point. So I'm sort of sensitive to this. And she seemed super down. And you can see when someone is feeling downtrodden. And this is something I try to do on a daily basis. And I don't tell you this to pretend to be some kind of good person or some kind of holier than thou. I'm hardly that. I tell you this because in our society, it shouldn't be this easy to bring a smile to someone's face. So I'm checking out my, you know, things I was buying. And I was looking at this lady. I noticed, okay, she's got a nose ring. She has a ring in her cheek. And then I saw her hands. She had rings all over her fingers. And her fingernails were beautiful, just stunning. And they were this bright blue color. Then I realized those were coordinated with her rings. And I looked up and saw that those colors also appeared in the nose ring. And frankly, I don't care for nose rings, but that's her decision. It was all coordinated. So when we got done checking out, I said, hey, I love your fingernails. Really beautiful color. It sort of made my day. And when you say these things, I think I have this fear that you come off as pandering or as creepy. But what actually happened was, like, she kept doing her job very efficiently. But I saw her face get a little bit red, and I saw her eyes get a little bit wet. And I said, what color is that? She said, it's my birthstone. It's sapphire. So it's really, really beautiful. And it's just made my day. She handed me my groceries and she said, hey, thank you. Have a really great night. It shouldn't be that easy. The reason it is easy is because I don't think we look for opportunities to just hand someone just a little bit of human kindness. Really. Fastest 15 is up next on the Dory Monson Show. Todd Herman filling in on Cairo Radio.